anything. And one of the most hotly contested issues in our household was who got to sit where. Does this sound familiar? We fought over who got to sit in the back seat of our minivan. We all wanted the largest seat to ourselves. We fought over who got to sit next to our dad in church. In our living room, we had limited seating, so we always fought over who got the best spot. All the fighting and bickering over who sat there must have really annoyed my parents, because to reduce the family tension, they developed a couple of systems to kind of solve the problem. So we started a three-week rotation that must have lasted about 15 years of my life, that we rotated who got to sit in the seat in the van and who got to sit next to dad in church. And in our living room, we started a process that if someone got up from their seat but wanted to return, they had to loudly and boldly declare, "No one take my place!" We, of course, had to respect this declaration of ownership. But if the phrase wasn't uttered, it was fair game for anybody. Still, we guessed what effective. At least there was one lesson for us to fight about. Now, you'll be relieved to know that my sisters and I don't fight like we used to. Actually, I kind of like my sisters now. But looking back, I can see that our actions were incredibly selfish. And honestly, our behaviors were downright silly. I mean, fighting over a seat in a minivan for a 15-minute drive, or arguing over a chair in our tiny living rooms. In our selfishness, we were concerned about getting what we perceived to be the best seat. We wanted the best spot for ourselves. Who sits where? I imagine struggling for the best seat is a very common human experience. People are always jostling for the best spots, the best seats, regardless of age. Our gospel text for today is certainly an episode regarding who gets to sit where. In Luke 14, Jesus has been invited to dine with a group of Pharisees. Now, at this point in Luke's gospel, many of the Pharisees and Jesus are pretty antagonistic toward one another. But Jesus has remained open and accepts the invitation. After all, he wants to see what the Pharisees do. So the dinner party begins with Jesus healing a man with dropsy. This is a condition where soft tissues swell up due to an accumulation of water in the body. We'll return to this man in a bit. But after Jesus heals the man, there seems to have been a mad scramble of all the best seats in the Pharisee's house. See, in this culture, everybody knew that certain seats were more important than others. Specific spots at a banquet or a dinner were known to be more honorable or more important than others. Everyone would notice the person sitting in an honor spot. I think something similar for us today would be the head table at a wedding reception. Only the wedding party gets to sit in those seats. In the seats closest to the bride and groom, and in a sense, they are the most honorable positions. What happened at this particular dinner with Jesus must have been like at a wedding reception today if all the guests scrambled for the head table. This would be, of course, served in the meeting. Bad table. I don't know if in our text, if in the scramble for the best seats, there was bickering over who deserves which spot, or this group crowding and pushing for certain seats, or this passive aggressive gesture. Whatever happened, Jesus obviously noticed it. And Jesus didn't just notice the outward behaviors of the guests, whatever they might have been. He noticed the inner condition of their hearts. What's more, Jesus notices the same condition in our hearts. We love getting noticed, don't we? We love to be honored by someone important in front of other people. We like those moments when we're elevated above others. You situations feed our pride and puff up in our ego. They satisfy our selfish ambition. Such selfish attitudes and behaviors are symptoms of our sinful nature. Now, seeing all this, both the outward and inner condition of the Pharisees, Jesus tells them all a short parable. Now, like many of Jesus' parables, this one kind of leaves me scratching my head. It seems like Jesus is telling the Pharisees the best way to get the honor that they want is not by scrambling for the best seat, because you run the risk of getting embarrassed from the host who moves you to the lower seat, but to begin by taking the lowest seat. If you do that, then the host will honor you by moving you to a higher seat. That's how you get what you want. So is Jesus suggesting we fake humility in order to be honored? Well, no. But in a way, yes. Remember that Jesus is telling a parable. And in this parable, he's pointing out that the Pharisees want honor and recognition, and that this is pridefulness, this is sinful behavior. And Jesus draws our attention to their sin by pointing out, tongue in cheek, how they really ought to seek after their selfish ambition. Anyone can see that they're pushing and shoving for the honor seats. It's pretty obvious. They probably looked as absurd as my sisters and I did when we were arguing over a seat to be in. If you want to look good in front of everybody else, take the worst seat. Assume humility. That way, the host will move you to a better seat. Everyone will notice you that way. You can say that sarcastically suggesting hypocrisy. One author, Lutheran pastor R.C. Lenski, summarized the parable well when he said, Jesus is making a parable out of what he sees the Pharisees doing right before him, and not without stinging irony, telling them that they ought to go about it in just about the opposite way they intend to breed of empty honor. For by doing it their way, always run the risk of being shamed, whereas the opposite way would be almost sure to give them honor or distinction, provided, of course, they are the distinguished persons they think they are. Of course, Jesus is not commending hypocrisy. He uses an example of hypocrisy to point out the depth of human selfishness. The Pharisees, or we, easily seen after honor in such a way that might make them or us look humble. But going after honor in such a way is dishonest. Fake humility is just as simple as rudely asserting one's importance. Both are bad table manners. Both flow from selfish pride. Both result in exalting oneself. And God sees both. Jesus seeks to instill in us table manners that exhibit true humility. Humility doesn't assume whether one is better or worse than others, whether one is more or less important. Humility seeks to serve and honor others regardless of who they are or what their positions are in life. Jesus also seeks to instill in us table manners that exhibit true hospitality. In the last few verses of our text, Jesus speaks specifically to the dinner host. He tells the man, serve others simply for the sake of serving others. He even serves those who are antagonistic or even hostile. Changing gears a bit, in our epistle reading that Rick just read a few minutes ago, the author of Hebrews states Jesus suffered in order to sanctify his people. He suffered in order to make us holy. The author of Hebrews then invites us to join Jesus in his suffering. In other words, Christ has invited us to practice humility and hospitality in order to sanctify other people, to make others whole. Often, this is me in suffering. Such humility and hospitality can be possible. Forgiving someone who has sinned against you, praying for your enemies, holding your tongue when you're being attacked, revoking your rights, not being defensive, patiently bearing with another's faults or mistakes. These can all be possible measures of humility and hospitality. But this is what it looks like to have table manners like Jesus. And furthermore, God certainly notices such actions. He promises to exalt those who humble themselves. Pretty encouraging that even though our actions of humility and hospitality often don't get noticed here on earth, God notices and he promises to reward these good deeds in the resurrection. That's pretty exciting. Jesus' whole life was one that exhibited true humility and hospitality. At another dinner, he allowed a sinful woman to anoint. He welcomed mothers to bring their children to him. He dined with both the highly religious and the social outcast. He touched sinful people and unclean people. He washed the feet of his disciples. He healed diseases and forgave sins. Jesus' table manners were ultimately very costly. He humbly allowed himself to be arrested, beaten, mocked. He practiced humility and hospitality to the extent of suffering and dying for us. The world had no use for someone as humble and as hospitable as Jesus. But on the cross, with arms stretched open, Jesus welcomes all to his heavenly kingdom. Jesus has died for you, and he has made you his honored guests, and has invited you to his to receive any seat at Jesus' table is truly exalting and honorable. And today, you get a foretaste of this heavenly banquet at this table. Come to Christ's table here as an exalted and honored guest. And may the peace of God.